to turn with us to the book of Colossians chapter number 3 tonight. Colossians chapter number 3. I want to bring a message the Lord laid upon my heart. It's not an end of the year sermon. And sometimes I preach on occasion, sometimes I don't. It's just, if you don't feel no leadership, I want to preach what's on my heart. Amen. And what's on my heart tonight may be a little bit different of a message, but it's just the only thing that's on my heart to preach. And so I pray that the Lord will use it to be a help to us. And I pray God will get glory and honor out of it. Colossians chapter 3, if you're able to stand with us tonight. I do want to ask you to pray. We have folks that are having surgery this week, and we want to remember them people in prayer. Brother Craig's having surgery tomorrow. Brother Dave Terry's having surgery this week. And Sister Brenda's having surgery coming up. It's not this week, is it? The 6th, all right? So we want to pray for these people and pray that God will help them and touch them. Amen. Give them a speedy recovery. Amen. Colossians chapter number 3, and look with me in verse number 22. The Bible says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven." Father, I pray tonight that you'd help us these next few moments. I pray that you would touch us and speak to our hearts. And may you be glorified in everything that'll be said and done. Help me not to say anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit. But God, I pray that you would be pleased tonight. And we'll love you and we'll praise you and thank you. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. In this passage of Scripture, Paul is going to lay some ground rules down for how that a Christian is supposed to be both a good employer and a good employee. When you think about that, we're living in a time when it seems like society, and I don't want to throw everybody into this pot, but I think you'll agree with me that we're living in a lazy generation, a lazy society, and it seems like that a lot of ethics are being done away with, a lot of character that was taught and that was given in the home, and that dads taught their sons and mothers taught their daughters growing up. Seem like a lot of things that were just common sense and common knowledge and character that was instilled in the lives of young people as they come up seem like it has been forgotten in an entire generation. I don't blame young people altogether for being having the attitude of entitlement and the attitude of laziness altogether, but a lot of that falls back on the parents and the homes and a generation that did not teach them, did not correct them. But needless to say tonight, we are living in a society that seems like they want to work less rather than to work more. Amen. You know, God created man to work. Isn't that right? I mean, he created Adam, breathed into him, and Adam became a living soul. And then God put Adam in that paradise, the Garden of Eden there. But he didn't put Adam there just to sit and to smell the roses and enjoy the fruit of the land. But he gave him an offer. He gave him a job. He gave him a responsibility to work and to take care of that garden. In there. God didn't need Adam, but God as the employer employed him and gave him something to do, for God knew that it was better for man to be busy than it was for him to be idle. Amen? And so that is a principle that we read all throughout the Word of God. What I'm saying tonight is when we come to the book of Colossians here, Paul deals with a lot of things, and we'll not talk about all of that tonight. He deals with a Christian family. He deals with a lot of different things, but here in our text tonight, Paul tells us how to be a Christian employee and how to be a Christian employer. Amen. And I want us to think about that a few minutes tonight, and I want to preach on this subject on how to be a good employee. Amen. How to be a good employee. You say, Brother Crabley, what in the world has that got to do with the end of this year? Absolutely nothing. Amen. I'm going to tell you the reason I'm preaching that is because I was reading my Bible the other day and that passage jumped out to me, and God just gave me a message. I said, well, I don't know when I'm going to preach that, and I don't know where that's going to fit, but it'll fit wherever God lays it out. Amen. I will tell you this much tonight. We could have revival in a lot of our churches if we could get people to tithing, and if we could get people to be honest on their job and just be a good employee. Can I get a witness right there? Amen. I mean, we got enough lazy employees. Isn't that right? And when you think about, I mean, if you work a public job and you work around other people who are lazy and you work hard, it ought to irritate you. Can I get an amen right there? Because you got to pull somebody else's weight. You got to pull somebody else's load. And nobody wants to be doing that. I want to say tonight, if you're a Christian and you go, listen, tomorrow you're going to leave here tonight and go home and you're going to punch a clock tomorrow, or you're on a salary, you're going to start the job tomorrow, you ought to give an honest day's work for an honest day wages. Amen. You ought to not be lazy. Can I get a witness on that? Lazy employees, listen, they're always running a few minutes late. I mean, listen, if you're a Christian, you ought to be on time when it comes to going to work. Amen. Listen, lazy employees, they work hard at not working. Amen. You ought to work hard, not hardly work. Can I get a witness right there? I'm talking about Christian employees. Listen, lazy employees, listen, they're not respectful. They complain about the work ethic or the work in the company and the supervisor. Listen, they forget that, listen, they got a job and they got hired not to attend that place and not to straighten that place out, but to go in and work. Can I get an amen right there? But how many people go on the job and claim to be a Christian and all they ever do is complain about the company? Amen. You ought to thank God you got a paycheck at the end of the week. You ought to thank God you got a job, and you ought to work hard and not be lazy. Hallelujah. Well, I told you, I'm just preaching because it's on my heart tonight. Lazy people only do what they have to. Lazy people always have to be told what to do. Amen. No supervisor wants to babysit people on a job. Can I get an amen? If you're in supervision tonight, you know what that means. When you go to work tomorrow, if you're a Christian, you know what you're supposed to do. You ought to take the initiative and get to it and work. Amen. And listen, your supervisor ought not have to be always coming by and checking on you every few minutes to see whether or not you're working. Amen. I'm talking about Christians. Amen. We ought to stand out in our work ethic. Amen. Lazy people, they'll stretch a job out to make it look bigger than what it really is. Y'all ever seen anybody like that? I'm talking about, listen, they'll grab a broom and listen, it'll take them to sweep a building this size will take them 8 hours. Amen. You know why? Because they're so lazy. They'd rather run around, push a broom and listen, scrub up the same thing every few minutes has to go do some real work. Can I get a witness on that? Lazy people, my friend, they'll butter up the boss. Amen. I could use a phrase there, but I'll refrain from it. Amen. Listen, they always like to butter them up. They always like to look like Johnny on the spot when the boss is walking through. But in reality, that's not who they are, and we know that. Amen. They're just a lazy employee. I'm telling you, if you're a Christian tonight, if you name the name of Christ, you ought to have a good testimony when you go to work. Those sinners around there ought to know. If they don't know anything else, they ought to know you're a hard worker. Amen. Don't give somebody a gospel tract at work if you're lazy, because you're not helping the cause, you're hurting it. Am I telling the truth tonight? I just wrote down a bunch of things, and I'm enjoying every bit of it right now. Lazy people despise other hardworking employees. Isn't that true? They may even use the put-down method, amen, because they feel like those hardworking employees are showing them up because they're not doing a good job. And when somebody does a good job on the job, you know what they won't do? They won't talk bad about them. Isn't that right? If you're a Christian, you ought to do a good job, amen. Lazy people seldom ever change or do better. They only feel good when they do little or do less. You know, when I worked on a public job, I figured if I was there, it might as well just work. The time doesn't go no faster, amen, when you're looking at the clock. It goes faster when you work, isn't that right? I want to say tonight that it's important as Christians that we don't be lazy, amen, that we don't just sit back on the job and just ride the clock. It hurts the testimony. It hurts the cause of Christ. Christians ought to be the best workers in any plan or any institute. And friend, listen, that sinner ought to know he ought to want to hire Christians before he wants to hire sinners. Amen. Ought to be hard workers, shouldn't we? And if people are lazy on the job, they'll be lazy in church work too. Amen.
I'd say to every preacher, if you're lazy, don't go take a church. Amen. Got enough lazy preachers in the church. We got enough lazy missionaries. Amen. We got enough lazy evangelists. Isn't that right? Listen, we need some workers. Amen. Listen, there's some people, they just want to get in the ministry because they're too sorry to work. Amen. And so they'll get a church somewhere and they'll sit there all week and they'll fish and hunt. And I'm not against all that. I'm against golf. Amen. But that's a whole nother story. I'm not that bored with life. Amen. But they'll go play golf, you know, and then they'll sit at the house all week and work three little old sermons up that they got off the internet somewhere, and then come to church, won't go on a visitation, won't do it, just lazy. Amen. I've seen preachers like that, just too sorry to work, and then they don't understand where their people's at because they don't have a work ethic. They don't understand them people coming through the doors every week. They're punching the clock. They're trying to raise a family, and they're not in touch because they laid up at the house all the time. Can we get an amen? That's just introduction. Lazy people. Lying employees. Stealing materials from the company. Stealing time from the company. You know, you're a thief if you don't work hard all day. You're stealing company time is what you're doing. I make so much an hour, and so I just do what I have to. Yeah, you're a thief is what you're doing because you're not being honest about giving a hard day's work, amen? I wouldn't let a sinner outwork me. I'm telling you, if I was on a public job, I would not let a sinner outwork me. I wouldn't be some lying employee, amen? And when you appear to be one thing and you're just another, hey, Paul's fixing to deal with that in this text here. He's saying Christians ought to be good, not just in their worship, but in their work ethic. In fact, I'll take it a step further. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for somebody that'll shout on Sunday or preach or teach or do anything else on Sunday and then go to work on Monday and they're just a sorry employee. Can we get a witness right there? I'm telling you, listen, I doubt your shout. Amen. God isn't filling you up on Sunday if you're too lazy to work on Monday. Amen. I mean, work hard. Amen. Put your hand to the plow and give a good day's work and God will bless you for that and you'll have a good testimony and people will think well of you if you'll work hard. Amen. Makes a difference, doesn't it? And in this text here, he tells us how, as Christians, to be a good employee. Notice in verse number 22 down to verse 25, how an employee must behave. He talks about the measure of his service in 22. Servants obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. That's your boss. That's your employer. He said obey in all things. Now that would be asked to the Lord, wouldn't it? Amen. Not something sinful, not something wicked, but it is in relation to their responsibility, to their work ethic. Amen. God didn't give us a job to sit around and complain. Amen. God didn't give us a job to tell the owner or the supervisor how it's supposed to be done. God doesn't give you a job to straighten everybody out there. I'm telling it's just very simple. You go to work tomorrow, you punch a clock. Now they ask you to do something that's not biblical, something that goes against your convictions, of course you're not going to do that. And I'm telling you, when you sit down and you accept that job and you accept that pay and whatever that pay is, if you agree to that, then you're supposed to work hard according to that. Isn't that right? I'm telling you, you're not to compromise your convictions, but the measure is we're to obey in all things. Amen. I know what it's work on a public job. I worked 5 years in the carpet mill, 12 hours a day. And I remember when I went over to the employment office and I got hired on and they gave me the envelope and it had my supervisor's name on it. Number one, it was a woman. I said, oh Lord. My mother told me what to do. Now another woman's going to tell me what to do. And then number two, when I saw the name, you know who it was? I noticed it immediately. It was an ex-wife from a family, a very close family member in our family. Now, I won't go in detail, but I hadn't saw her since I was like 6 years old. But now she's my boss. And I'd already heard through the grapevine she was a pistol and a half, if you know what I mean. And I remember walking across that plant with the lady and I said, Lord, it's bad enough I got to work for a woman. Not that I'm against women. You know what I'm saying. But I've already heard she has an attitude, and she's really going to have an attitude with me. And I was 6 years old when all that mess happened. I remember the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, you just work hard, keep your mouth shut, and it'll be all right. You know, I wished I could stand here and tell you she was a kind lady and easy to work for, but that's not true. That wasn't her reputation. But I will tell you this much, I never had no problems out of her, and she never had no problems out of me. You say, why? Kept my mouth shut and did my job. I was there to get a paycheck at the end of the day. Servants obeying all things. Listening to all things. We go to work. I know it's quiet in here, but I'm telling you right now, it matters how we act on the job. It matters what our testimony is and our work. And the measure here is that we're to obey in all things. You say, well, I don't like this that goes on. There's a lot of things that goes on in the public workforce you're not going to like. I mean, because you're working in the world. Isn't that right? They're not going to accommodate us. Amen. And we're to live peaceably with all men if it's possible. We're to do our best. Amen. But we're to always think about our testimony. We're always to think about what people think about us. We're to be a Christian 7 days a week. Isn't that right? And we are to, you say, well, I know my boss. That's a dangerous thing. Amen. You're to work hard even if you know them. It doesn't matter. I'm telling you, when you step into that role and you take that job, listen, all things are laid aside. You are the employee, and the measure is to obey in all things. Amen. Then there's the manner of his service. Look at verse number 22. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. You see, some people are great employees when the boss man is around, but they're sorry as dirt whenever he walks away because they really don't have that work ethic. And I'm telling you, it's not what the boss sees, it's what God sees. You know, you have to work hard on the job because Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord in every place, both in the evil and the good. God sees us wherever we're at. He sees whatever we're doing. He sees if you go to work and you hide behind boxes, amen, watch the clock, guess what? God sees that. You ought to fear God enough not to do something like that. It's so quiet in here right now, it makes me want to just keep hammering this subject. I'm telling you, listen, you say, well, I just kind of sneak off and take me. You know, listen, if you go to the restroom, it takes you 30 minutes every time you go to the restroom, and you're going 5 times a day. I'm going to tell you something. You need to go to the hospital and get checked out, friend. You got some serious problems going on, or you're sitting in there on your phone, amen, just wasting time. Isn't it amazing all the rules that they got to put out, amen? A policy book that was once this size now looks like a phone book because people, they're always looking for some loophole, always trying to cut some corner, amen? I'm talking about, friend, if you're a Christian, that ought to never be said. Amen. Listen, you're not to serve with eye service. You're not to be a man pleaser. You're not to get out there and work just to get a pat on the back. Amen. Nothing wrong with having some ambition, but everything that you do, it ought to be out of the fear of God. It ought to be with a character and a work ethic that honors and pleases God. You ought to work hard enough on a job that when people lie about you, and they will, that other people won't believe that. Supervisors should be able to load you down to capacity. They ought to be able to leave with confidence, knowing that you're going to do the right thing. Amen. Verse 23, it says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. I'm talking about being a Christian employee. I'm talking about working hard. Start this year off right. Start it off giving your best. Amen. Start it off being, you know, if we're going to, God puts you on that job. That's your place. That's your mission field that God puts you there. You know, we don't choose the mission fields that God leads us to. We don't choose the places we go. That's God's will for our life. And when God puts you someplace, have a testimony. Be a Christian. Amen. Think about the eyes that are looking at you at all times, and think about the one eye that sees everything, and from your heart, listen, whatsoever you do, do it heartily. That whatsoever includes your work, it includes your job, it includes when you get up tomorrow, go to work and give God your best, amen. Work hard for your company, amen. Listen, give your best. You say, well, they don't appreciate it, they'll never notice it. Maybe they won't, but I tell you, there's somebody that will see it, and there's somebody that will honor it, and there's somebody that will bless you for working hard on your job. Now, young men, listen, you work hard on the job. Amen. Don't be lazy. Lord, we got so many lazy people today. Work hard. And if you got a family, you get a good job that pays. Don't you get a job now where you got to miss church all the time. But you get a good job. You got to start somewhere. I get that. But you get a job and you take care of your family. God gave you that family. Amen. Listen, ain't nothing wrong with working down at McDonald's. Amen. But I'm telling you, when you got a family and you got mouths to feed, listen, you may have to start out there, but you can't. You don't need to stay there. You're going to starve to death. Amen. If they eat hamburgers the rest of their life, it'll kill them. Amen. And so you got to do something. You can't have an excuse for a job. You got to get out there and get a real job. Amen. And you may not be. You say, well, I'd like to have a desk job. You know, one of them nice offices and sitting behind the desk. Well, if you didn't go to school and you didn't get a good education and you don't qualify, you can't have one. I'm sorry. Amen. But you're just going to have to get you a pick and shovel and go wherever and work whatever you can do. And they no shame in being a blue-collar worker, and there's no shame in being a white-collar worker. Amen. But you need to be in the will of God. You need to be working hard. Amen. And you need to give your best for the Lord and give your best for your family. Amen. And don't put your job above the things of God. A Christian employee never does that. But a Christian employee will work hard for the Lord and work hard for their family. Amen. And for the few of y'all that are still listening, there's the motive of this service. I tell you, I want every young man to get a hold of this. Because I see a lot of young men that just don't want to work anymore. Work hard. So I want to get married. Well, you got to get a good job before you get married. Is that right? I went to my dad when I won't tell you how old it was, but when I went to him, and I said, Dad, can I get married? He told me two things. He said, well, number one, he said, you can't live here. He said, so if you get married, he said, you're never living here. That was good advice. He said, number two, he said, right now, he said, you got a roof over your head, you got a bed, you got lights and water, and you got food. He said, but if you get married, he said, you can't come ask me for no money. Amen. That's right, that's what he told me. He said, now if you can do those two things right there, he said, you can get married. I hesitated for a moment. I said, I can do it. I might starve to death. Me and Nolita might live under a bridge, but we can't live here, and I'm not going to come ask you for no money. That stuck in my mind. So that when hard times come, you just had to work through it. You just had to keep pushing through. And I'm saying, you got to work hard. I remember I started out, and that job didn't pay enough. You know what I did? I said, I told Nolita, I said, this just don't pay enough money. I said, boy, I mean, it's good work. I mean, it's easy work, but it's easy because it don't pay good. And I had to make a choice whether to keep an easy job that didn't pay good. Man, I hated carpet mills. He had to get up at 3:45, be in the truck. I rode to work with my father-in-law because we worked in the same plant. It'd be in the truck at 4 o'clock. We had punched in at 4:30, got off at 5:30. Drove home, had 30 minutes, you know, to eat supper with her and then with the kids and then go to Bible college four nights back then, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, three hours of Bible. And so you get 3:45 in the morning. I still remember all them hours. Bible college finished at 9 o'clock, be home at 9:30, pet the kids like they were dogs a few minutes, you know, play with them. And then go to bed at 10 o'clock and back up at 3:45 again. And you know, I remember those days. And Saturdays and Sundays were precious. And I remember being in that carpet mill, running that transporter. You go in there and 30 minutes after you've been working, every thread on your body's soaking wet. Dark when you go in, dark when you go out some days. And some days I thought, now, why am I even going to Bible college? Well, I'm going nowhere. You know what I didn't know God was doing, Brother Tim? It took all years later to see this. God stuck me in the back of that mill because here's why. And I'm not telling you I've arrived, but I'm telling you I know this beyond a shadow of a doubt. God put me back there because he knew this. You'll never make it in the ministry if you don't get a good work ethic. And God said, I'm going to put that boy in the back of that mill and work him like a dog for 12, 13 hours a day, 5 days a week. Our regular hours were 7 to 3. Worked it one day in 5 years. That's the only day we went home, one day. And everybody had a heart attack then. You say, why was that? Because God said he'll never make it in the ministry if you don't work. And I see people, I see preachers in the ministry, and I'm like, they ain't going to make it. They're too lazy. They ain't got no work ethic about them. You got to always tell them what to do. They don't know how to pull it up. They think that's hard work. Some of you young guys walk around. It's always funny when young guys start getting a job. I know it's going to get more tighter, but let's buckle up, buttercup. Here we go. They get their first real job, and everybody knows it. They're like, I got to get up at 4 o'clock. And like, they're the only man. They're not even a man. If you got to announce what time you get up, you're not a man yet. You're still a boy. Act like the only male species that ever got up at 4 o'clock. Some of y'all are looking at me right now, and I'm looking at you right now, and I'm hoping y'all getting this. I got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Preacher, I'd be here on Wednesday night. Uh-oh. I'd be here on Wednesday night, but I got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning like you're the only person. That man right there got up. Some nights didn't go to bed. Stayed up all night. Come in on Sunday morning. Been up all night working them storms. Wednesday nights. Come in on afternoon, working 2 and 3 days, hardly no sleep. Come in afternoon, sleep probably an hour or two, and come to church on Wednesday night. I know Brother David Cape's taking care of he has to take care of an invalid brother-in-law and family, and he's got a lot on him right now. But when David led this singing on Wednesday nights, a lot of times he'd get up early in the morning and work. He'd come in with just a polo on, you know, and he'd say, Preacher, I don't care if you're wearing a polo. I'm glad you came on led singing after working all day. That's quiet now, but I'm telling you, if we don't get that kind of work ethic in this younger generation, what kind of church are we going to have 15 years from now? If your excuse for missing Wednesday nights because you got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, you need to ask the devil to give you a better excuse, because that's not a very good excuse. Hey, too many people got up early in the morning. We get out at 8 o'clock most of the time, don't we? You know why we do that? Because when I came to this church years ago, we started at 7:30. Which I didn't have a problem with that, but shortly afterward, I asked them, I said, if we can back up to 7 o'clock, I said, here's what we're going to do. I said, unless the Lord, and you know, and this don't count for revivals, but that won't kill you. And this don't count for, you know, I said, if God moves in a service, we ain't shutting her down. We'll stay till 10 o'clock, you know that. But I said, on week in and week out on Wednesday nights with school and work, I said, if we'll back up to 7 o'clock, I said, I'll usually give an invitation about 8 o'clock. And I said, just a regular service on Wednesday night. And if God gets in it, of course we'd stay. But we do. You know why? And you know why we've done that all these years? I'm going to tell you why. Because when God put me in that carpet mill, I went to church for a few months. And God sent me there to learn what not to do. And when you've worked all day, and you're tired and you're wore out, and you make that effort to come to church, sometimes, man, I wanted to be in church, but I wanted to see my family. I wanted to go to bed, be honest with you, sometimes. But I wanted to go to church and serve God. And sometimes church would go to 9:30 on Wednesday night, and he'd have to pray for me. I'd get in the flesh. I'm probably being too honest right now, but I'd get half mad because I've been up half the night and day. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, if you don't think so, let's stay till 9:30 Wednesday night and see how you feel. I think, Lord, I mean, let's get this thing over with and go to the house, because ain't nothing happening. We could have been done in 45 minutes and had a good service. Now, I know I'm not as spiritual some as y'all. But I'm just saying, when you get up early in the morning and you put the effort for to go to church, if God moves in on Wednesday night, let's stay till 11 o'clock. But if it's just a good service, let's redeem the time is what I'm saying. Let's make the most of it. And people come to church when they know there's some, we're not scheduling God out, but when they know there's some structure, ain't it easier to come to church? And we're not, hey, nobody packs up and leave at 8 o'clock, isn't that right? We don't do that to the Lord. What I'm telling you is this tonight, is that when it comes to working a job, you got to work. I was in that mill all those years, and I didn't know what God was doing. And you don't know what God's doing. That job you're at, you may be having difficulty, but you don't know what God's doing behind the scenes. So be a Christian. So work hard. Well, they don't appreciate it. Work hard. Don't miss church because of your job. And we have pretty good attendance on Wednesday night. And if you have to work a Wednesday night, if you can't, and some people, you know, some people get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I get that. I'm not fussing at you about those things. But I'm telling you tonight, there's some people, they get off at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and they don't even bother to come on Wednesday night. you could come. Can I get an amen right there? You just don't come because you don't want to. You could come tonight. So why is that so important? Your children need to see you come. Amen. Your church family needs you. I remember sitting over at Tilton Baptist Church, Brother Danny. I come in that side door and sit on that second pew and didn't have time to put on a shirt and tie. Just have to come in work clothes, you know, and I'd sit over there. And sometimes it'd be feel like I'm just going to go sleep in service, you know. You know what keeps you awake in service when you're tired and sleepy? I know this for a fact. It works. Say amen. Go ahead and say it now. Help me. I did. I'd sit there and I'd get so tired, and the Lord told me that. He said, you know, if you'd say amen while Brother Bruce preaches, you won't go to sleep. Now, I'm not going to tell you I didn't never go to sleep. But I'd say, amen, preacher, amen. And you stay awake, you know, it keeps you awake. You say, why didn't you just go home? Because we had two little babies. Because I didn't want my wife to go to church without me if I could be there. I'm just telling you something to help you for the new year. I'm just telling you, as a Christian employee, God will bless you if you'll be a Christian. There's the motive. Notice this, the motive of his service tonight. The Bible said in verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Notice this, here's the motive. For you serve the Lord Christ. We're not doing what we're doing. You know, your job is not about the company you work for. You serve the Lord Christ. You're a Christian before you're an employee. But you ought to be a Christian employee. You know, this church, if I'm not careful, it's the same concept. I can become all about Bible Baptist Church and do what I do for Bible Baptist Church. That's the wrong motive tonight. I serve the Lord. I think some men, they're so brokenhearted because the ministry became their ministry rather than his ministry. I'm telling you, I can't fill a church up, and it's not my responsibility or yours. We're just to serve God, and whatever results come out of it, that's his results, amen? And that keeps me from thinking too highly of self, and it also keeps me from getting discouraged. If you serve God, if you give your best, then whatever it is what God wants it to be. Isn't that right? You work hard for that company, and you give your best, and you be a Christian on the job 5 days or 6 days a week, and you let your motive be that when I get up tomorrow, it's not about the company, it's not about the paycheck, but Lord, here I am, this is Monday, and I want to serve you today however I'm supposed to. I want to be a good employee, a good worker. I want to be a Christian, and I want my motive to be right. You know, at the end of the day, I'll tell you what will happen. You'll be satisfied, and he'll be satisfied if you serve him. That company might be, them companies back then, the carpet industry, they did not care. They just soon fire you today. They could hire somebody within 15 minutes. The unemployment offices were always packed full. You could literally quit your job, go around the corner back then, and get another job that same day. It was so easy to get a job back then. But the sad thing about that was that they didn't treat people right. They didn't care. You were just somebody getting the job done. If you didn't like it, you could leave. That was just the attitude that they had about things back then. But you know, you could go to work every day and say, well, the company don't care about me, so I don't care about them. You could have that kind of attitude. But that's not a Christian attitude. You're going to live you're going to live all the time in the negative, amen? But if you get up and you go to work and say, you know what? God gave me the strength to get out of bed this morning, and I could be unemployed, but God gave me a job. I'm going to get a paycheck this week, Lord willing. And I tell you, I'm not serving that company, but I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to shine my light. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to do what I can for the glory of God. And at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter if they appreciate anything. I know I'll hear from the heaven. I know the Lord will be pleased. Hey, that's what matters. That's the motive of all service. Tonight is that God be glorified. Is God glorified in your work ethic tonight? Finally, in closing, I'm not going to elaborate the thought, but he says in verse 1 of chapter 4 how an employer must behave. He says, masters, he tells them, they're a man of authority. Give unto your servants that which is just and equal.
And then there are people under authority, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. I don't know if there's anybody here in supervision. I don't keep up with people's employments. But remember this when you're in supervision. Always remember to treat people the way that you'd want them to treat you. Even when they don't do right, you be a Christian. You have to hire and you have to fire. But never do it with an attitude that doesn't please God. Always show mercy and grace when you can. And always be someone that teaches others. Train people. Don't just tell people, but train people how to do things. Amen. You know, I'm glad a good parent is someone that doesn't just tell their children. And there's nothing wrong with telling your children to do things. I think a great saying that every parent ought to adopt, that every parent used to adopt back then, was "because I said so." Amen. Now, don't read some crazy mess off the internet and don't be one of these gentle parents. That's not in the Bible. It's okay to tell your kids. You ought to tell your kids "because I said so." Because they're going to be somebody else. But you ought to train them. You ought to tell them, but you ought to train them how to do things. And on the job, if you're in supervision, you got a guy over there and you have to tell him to do the same thing because he's lazy. Just train him. Because sometimes training is this way. It's not some people, you tell them something one time and they get it just like that, don't they? Don't you love them kind of people? And then there's some people, you got to throw rocks at them to get them to figure out what you're saying. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But a good supervisor, a good person, a good employer, you know who they are? There's somebody that keeps training and training and training. And training. You got to train people how to do things. I know tonight that this is not an end of the year sermon. It's not a revival sermon. But I'll tell you this tonight. I believe it's a needed message. Because if we're going to win the world, before we ever get them to listen to what we have to say to them, they're going to have to see Christ in us. And how's your supervisor going to see Jesus in you? I'll tell you how he's going to see it. By the way you work. By the attitude you have on the job. That's how they're going to see Christ in us. You'll gain their ear when they see a good work ethic. Let's stand tonight.